This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neil Conan. Summer reading always meant fiction, often trashy fiction, mystery novels, thrillers, and bodice rippers, books you'd buy at the airport, read on the beach, and leave in your hotel room. On the sand, in the sun, we were supposed to forget about the real world. But times, it seems, have changed. Political books, serious books about politics and war and global warming are all the rage. One of the U.S. attorneys fired by the Bush administration has written a tell-all. What Happened by former White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan is a bestseller. And journalist Bob Woodward, perhaps the modern-day father of the political book, has a new one coming out soon. His fourth book about President Bush. Eat, Pray, Love, that is so last year. This year it's Vets Under Siege and The Pornography of Power, among dozens of others. If you're heading for the beach, are there political books in your tote bag? If so, we want your recommendations. What is your favorite book about American politics, new or old? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can comment on our blog. That's npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the hour, Tiger Woods and the U.S. Open, but first, political books. Joining us from our bureau in New York is Dermot McAvoy, a senior editor at Publishers Weekly. You can find a link to his newest article called Want Political Truth? Buy a Book on our website at npr.org. So good to have you with us, Dermot.
Thank you, Lynn. Good to be here.
Now, these books are really popular, these political books, and you say that books have now preempted the press, giving us more solid information than newspapers or magazines. When did that happen? What was the turning point here?
Well, my feeling is it probably happened after 9/11, where you saw the press withdrawing. You saw just the newspapers withdrawing, becoming cheerleaders. And what happened was people who had an opinion, like Phil Donahue, were driven off the air. And people, you know, who just disagreed with the administration were told by Ari Fleischer to be careful what they said. And it seemed like over time that when people had a story to give, they didn't give it to the media anymore. They started giving it to book publishers.
Yeah.
So that's how the latest example, of course, is Scott McClellan's book.
Yeah. But also a lot of the people who write these books are, in fact, journalists.
Well, yes, of course, Bob Woodward is. And people of that nature. But, you know, that is the way they get their story out, I think, because it's not piecemeal. It gives them a chance to write a long, full story with their whole opinion in it. And I think books are probably a much better way to do this than any other, you know, way to do it.
So is this one of the healthiest sectors in publishing right now, then?
It's really come along this year. You know, it goes up and down. Next year, you probably will have a bunch of post-election books and then really, you know, trickling down until George W. Bush's memoirs come out in 3 or 4 years. But it's seasonal. It just depends what the political season is. Like Iraq made a tremendous, push for books in the last 2 years. And the problems in Iraq, actually, not the good news out of Iraq. If there was good news, there probably would have been less books.
Well, how have the books on Iraq done, for instance? I know there was there were a lot of books published about the war.
Well, Thomas Ricks published one, George Packer. Recently, General Ricardo Sanchez published one, Ron Suskind. So you have many journalists and insiders publishing. Even, you know, Brenner published one who was running Iraq for a while. And, you know, they do pretty well. It's actually better than you would think, actually.
Yeah.
For such a serious subject matter. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Any standout book on the war that you would recommend, or one that might be coming up this summer that would be, if people are interested in this subject, that they should look for?
Now, I haven't seen one that really, you know, jumped out at me at this point. It seems like we're getting away from the war. There are war books coming out, but the summer is more towards policy, a lot of policy books. I mean, policy, everything from the war to environmental stuff. But, you know, as it goes on, there's also the books by people like Michael Moore, Woodward, people are waiting for these books.
Yeah, can you give me an example of a policy book that's coming out that people might want to keep their eye out for?
Let's see. I'm looking as we go along. One book that you mentioned before is, it's not so much policy as, well, it is policy of the Bush administration, but it's Injustice by David Iglesias, who was the former attorney, United States attorney in New Mexico, who was basically canned by Karl Rove. So that is for the first time we're going to get his side of the story, which should be interesting considering Rove has been subpoenaed by the House of Representatives.
And there's a book coming out about Karl Rove as well, isn't there?
Machiavelli's Shadow.
Machiavelli's Shadow. That's
The Rise and Fall of Karl Rove by Paul Alexander, which is coming out from Rodale Modern Times. And it's a very critical biography of him. It was supposed to come out in February, and it just hit the stands, within the last week or so. So, it'll be interesting to see if Karl Rove gets in real trouble with the House of Representatives, how this book will do.
Yeah. Is there any way of really predicting how a book might do? I mean, can you get a sense of which ones are going to take off or not?
Not really. I'll give you Scott McClellan. I knew about Scott McClellan's book last, December. And it kind of got pushed around. It's supposed to come out in April. And, they put something on the website how this will be, a real revolutionary book towards the Bush administration. And I didn't believe it, really. And I heard some stuff that the book was, just the same old stuff. He likes Bush too much and everything, from somebody who heard the audio tape. And I heard this like on a Friday. By Monday, everything had changed. And this book became the hot book, the hot political book of the spring.
Yeah. So that completely took you by surprise. And that happens a lot, huh?
Well, I wasn't expecting Scott McClellan to flip on Bush. And I don't think anybody else was.
Yeah. Yeah. In the publishing industry, are publishers more likely nowadays to publish a book by a well-known journalist or a political insider than, to take a chance, for instance, on a first-time novelist or...
Well, it's obvious because, you're investing money in these people. And when you're investing in somebody like Bob Woodward or somebody, but, the names are very familiar that are coming out, in the fall. There's going to be Michael Moore. There's going to be Tom Friedman again. There's going to be Thomas Frank, who wrote What's the Matter with Kansas. So, these people have a track record. And it's also people like people who are in, say, Iraq and like Richard Engel of NBC News, the Mideast bureau chief. This man has written several books, but he has a track record through hard work. Richard Engel's been there since 2001, and he's never left, basically.
Yeah. I noticed in your article that the Tom Friedman book has a first printing of a million copies. I mean, that almost guarantees it's going to be a bestseller, doesn't it?
Well, yes. His paperback sold tremendously well in trade paperback last year. In the hundreds of thousands of copies. Friedman has a following, and he's been wrong about a lot of things, so he makes a lot of people mad, which probably doesn't hurt selling books.
All right. We're going to take a call now. We're going to go to Viola, who is calling from Grants Pass, Oregon. Hi, Viola.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to... call in. I've been reading the Audacity book. I downloaded it on the internet and often listen to books on tape as I'm driving. And so I took a vacation to the coast and listened to that and was impressed and inspired and wanted to recommend that to your listeners, that it is a book that won't turn your stomach like the Scott McClellan book.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Viola. We're having a little trouble hearing you. You're breaking up a little bit. But thanks so much for calling with that recommendation. And Audacity of Hope, of course, Barack Obama's book. And interesting how books can influence and really have an effect now on political campaigns. I mean, we saw that in the last presidential campaign with the Swift Boat book that had such a negative effect on the Kerry campaign. Again, are we going to be seeing a slew of political books coming out around this presidential election?
I would hope so. I wish to be somebody like Theodore White, who could write The Making of the President in 2008, or David Halberstam would have been perfect to do that. But right now, I'm kind of waiting for the right guy to write the right book. You can be sure somebody like Woodward will start doing something or things like that. But I just want to mention that Barack Obama, last year he sold 440,000 copies of both his books in trade paperback. And right now, today, both of the books are still on Publishers Weekly's and trade bestseller list.
Yeah. You know, another kind of book that we haven't really talked about, and that's a book about political history. Nixonland is a book which was recently released that's been getting a lot of attention. That's one example of that type of political book, not so much about what's going on at the moment, but looking back at political history.
Well, Nicholas Katzenbach, who was the attorney general in the Johnson administration after Robert Kennedy left, has a new book coming out. And I think the title is "It Wasn't That Bad: Working with LBJ and RFK." And of course, it's a title that makes you wonder, was it that good? You know, because Lyndon Johnson could be a slave driver. And I've read little parts of it. And he's, of course, very attached to Robert Kennedy. And he does have, a love-hate relationship probably with Lyndon Johnson. But Katzenbach is one of the most interesting characters around, still left over from that era, still alive.
All right, let's talk to Michael. He's calling from Michigan. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, I was just recently listening, and I was really interested in listening to this topic because I just recently, a few years ago, got into reading the political books. But my favorite one is called Gaming the Vote, and it's about how presidential elections are won just by knowing the numbers behind them. The most interesting piece of information I found in that book is in the 2000 election when Bush won against Gore. Ralph Nader was completely responsible, along with Karl Rove's work, in making sure that Al Gore wasn't the one that won that election. And surprisingly so, Bush won, and he was considered the third favorite candidate during the primary. So that was one of the pieces of information that I found most interesting in that book.
Well, thanks for recommending that, Michael, and I guess you're going to learn a lot about politics from reading books in the future. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
We are talking about political books. What's on your list? Give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. Dermot McAvoy is going to stay with us, and we're going to continue this discussion when we return. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. We're talking about the best books to read during this hot summer of politics. What are you reading to help you understand this remarkable political moment, or perhaps help you make the most informed choice in November? Give us a call at 800-989-8255 or send an email to talk@npr.org. And you can read what other listeners have to say at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And for a list of our book recommendations from staffers on our elections desk, go to our website, npr.org. Still with us from our New York Bureau is Dermot McAvoy. He's senior editor at Publishers Weekly. His article in the current issue is titled "Want Political Truth? Buy a Book." And joining us now in Studio 3A is Ron Walters, a professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. So good to have you with us. Ron,
thanks for having me.
So what is your favorite book about American politics? Do you have one?
Oh, boy, I really don't have one. you go all the way back. Political scientists are kind of trained to wrestle with Plato because Plato talks about the good society and he divides things into categories that are very neat. He describes the kinds of government and so forth. And so you really have to start with there and sort of come very quickly into the 20th and 21st century.
Yeah. What about contemporary books? So what do you have a list of them? Or
coming in from the plane so that anything might be on here. But as I remembered it, there's a book called The Political Brain by Drew Weston. It's really very interesting. It talks about how you really understand politics and how the brain sort of processes political phenomenon. It's not a psychological book because it has a chapter there on race. It talks about the race card, sort of the use of political themes and political context and how do you understand those. So I think it's really a very interesting book, 2 or 3 inches thick, but I think people can get through it. Second Chance by Brzezinski. If you're talking about a book that begins to lay out sort of the errors of American foreign policy and where we go from here, does a pretty good job of that. I think The Black Agenda, Tara Smiley's Black Agenda, was a bestseller on the New York Times list. For those people in the black community who sort of are missing a Barack Obama specificity about what's going on in the black community. I think they ought to look at that because that gives them sort of an indication of what people are talking about. Jim Webb. Jim Webb's book, Time to Fight, was interesting to me because he goes all the way back to talk about Southern culture and to describe sort of the heritage aspect of it in ways that don't evoke images like the Ku Klux Klan or lynching or those sorts of things. He talks about the Irish and the Scotch-Irish in particular, and one of the ways in which they gravitated toward things like being very strong on defense because of the way in which they grew up in a mountain culture. Well, we don't often talk about the origin of those things in the campaign. So it's interesting to have a book that actually takes you back and then brings you back to the present and gives you a reason why it is people vote the way they do. Howard Zinn's I think Howard Zinn's classic, People's History of the United States, is very important because if you're going to understand populism and populist movements, you've got to understand it from the bottom up. And so that book has been very important because it tells historians that we can write history from the top down, but if you do, a lot of times you don't understand what's going on. And this is, an election where media looked at it from the top down and missed the point. Hmm. The American people were really ready for change, and you could only get that by looking at what they were doing bottom up.
Let me ask you about something specific to presidential elections. Just before you came in, a listener called and said that he had read Barack Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope. Of course, he has two books out. Of course, John McCain has his own book. Hillary Clinton had hers. How much value do you place on those kinds of books written by candidates running for president? And can you really learn something about them through those books, do you think?
Well, I think so. I think you learn more about Barack Obama from Dreams, from my father, his first book, because that's a biographical work. It tells you a lot about him growing up, his values, where he was born, and so forth. I think Audacity was a book which was written with an eye toward a campaign, because you can literally pull out of that book his positions on a whole variety of issues. And you don't do that unless you're saying, hey, let America, know where I stand on a whole series of things. It worked because what happened was when the book took off, many of his colleagues said, hey, wait a minute, here's a star over here. He just got in the Senate, but his books are raising all this fuss. Why don't I invite him out on the campaign trail to speak for me? Mm-hmm. And that's where he began to develop his political currency.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let me just return to Dermot McAvoy for a moment, who's still with us from the New York Bureau. Dermot, interesting what we just heard from Ron Walters, which is that Barack Obama used his book as a sort of jumping off point for his campaign on some level. How often does something like that happen?
Well, you can go back to John F. Kennedy. And Profiles in Courage was a similar kind of book for him, which he wrote when he was ill back in the mid-50s and became a bestseller the late 50s into the 60 campaign. And we're talking about politics and how it's done. I'm more interested in the nuts and bolts of politics. And my favorite book from last year, which really will tell you what is going to happen in these congressional elections this year, is The Thumping: How Rahm Emanuel, the Democrats, Learned to Be Ruthless and Ended the Republican Revolution. And it's like a handbook on how to beat Republicans. And Rahm Emanuel is just a madman. It's also one of the funniest and dirtiest political books I've ever read. It's up there with my other favorite is probably The Advance Man by Jerry Bruno, who is the advance man for President Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. And also How the Good Guys Finally Won by Jimmy Breslin, which is a textbook about how Tip O'Neill drove Nixon from office in 1974. But The Thumping, it tells you about 2006, but it's really about 2008.
Let me jump in here with a book that I just remembered, which goes along with exactly what you're saying. It's Son Wilentz. Son is at Princeton, and he's just released a book on Reagan. That's a very interesting book because he not only sums up the Ronald Reagan era, but what he says is that it's ended. And that's really very interesting because that is also at the heart of this campaign, at the heart of the populist appeal and Barack Obama's message to America right now. And you can find a lot of it in this book.
The one thing I was just thinking about this morning, like how popular Obama is, but I remember reading, going back to the making of the president in 1960, and John F. Kennedy was in Columbus, Ohio, to a tremendous reception. I mean, overwhelming crowds. And after the election, he pulled out the sheets on Columbus, Ohio, and he said, I never got a better reception and less votes than in Columbus, Ohio.
We're talking about political books. My guests are Dermot McAvoy. He is the author of Want Political Truth, Buy a Book, which is in Publishers Weekly, current edition. And Ron Walters, professor of government and politics. If you'd like to join the discussion, give us a call at 800-989-8255. We're going to take a call now from Jeff. And Jeff is calling from Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I was calling about a book. I'm about a third of the way through it. It's an older book. It's Hunter Thompson's The Great Shark Hunt, which is actually a collection of articles and letters that he wrote from about, I think it was like 1972 on. And the thing that, I mean, not only is it hilarious, it's really funny. It's a real far left, you know, almost crazy book that keeps your attention. But the thing that's really hitting me about this book is that it the parallels between what's going on in the Bush administration now and what was going on with Nixon then, as well as just some other odds and ends here and there. I mean, he even has a article he wrote, I think it was for Scanlon's magazine or something, about the Kentucky Derby. And he writes about way back then about the inbreeding of the horses and you know, the problems it could cause down the road. And I guess the main point I'm trying to make is the prophetic way that he talks about these things is really mind-boggling. I think a lot of people dismiss him as kind of silly and not a real serious writer, but he really had some vision about what was coming down the road, both politically and within the country.
All right, great. The Great Shark Hunt by Hunter
Thompson. Yeah, The Great Shark Hunt. Yeah, it's I think it's also the subtitle is Volume 1 of the Gonzo Papers. There's like three volumes of these collections.
I think Hunter Thompson's, the book they wrote on the 72 campaign was Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, 1972, something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah, that was the actual, right, that was
right.
on the
That's
campaign.
The full book, yeah.
Yeah, this one kind of starts with some letters right during Watergate when things were really going down with Nixon. So, mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm only a third of the way through it, so I can't really tell you where it goes from here. But it's a good read, and it's really funny stuff.
All right, great. Thanks for the call, Jeff. And let's take a call from Steven. Steven's calling from Utah. Hi, Steven.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to recommend a book.
Okay.
It's called The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. It's by Naomi Klein. She's a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone needs to read this book. It's really incredible. And
why do we need to read it? Why do we need to read it?
Yeah, basically what she talks about is how our government and other governments take advantage of natural disasters or other kind of disasters in order to basically pass economic reform that the people would normally reject under normal circumstances. Big moves to privatize industry and stuff like that, and how it really hurts the lower class. One of the big fallacies I think that she exposes is this idea that, you know, free and open markets is synonymous with democracy, that in order to be truly democratic, you have to have completely free and open markets, when in reality that can just serve to, you know, unemployment goes way up and a lot of people really suffer from those conditions. So I thought it was a good book. I highly recommend it.
All right, great. Thanks for the call, Stephen.
Yep.
So, Ron Walters, are you familiar with any of the either of the books that you've just mentioned?
I must say that I'm not.
Yeah. I'm wondering, we were talking earlier about the fact that political books seem to be really pretty popular right now. And, of course, we're in a political season, but they seem to be gaining in popularity. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think because this is an unusual political cycle. I think the interest in politics is extremely high. And I think really very high among that group of people who does a lot of reading, and that's college students and youth.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to understand, you know, what's going on. And I think they're turning to a lot of the books. And I think I would say that about a lot of the adults, too, that politics is popular. They're trying to make sense out of what's happening in this era. And there's a lot of reading going on. I think that this also brings into light some of the older books. I was thinking of one that I turn to sometimes is look at the summing up of the first 50 years of the 20th century, and that's The Vital Center by Arthur Schlesinger. Now, a lot of people remember his 1,000 Days, but The Vital Center was extremely important in terms of laying out sort of aspects of political theory, political philosophy. And here was somebody who was a Harvard historian, but who was not sort of a trained historian, but who someone who could write history. And I think that the best books are those historical books that are written very well. And I think we've got people like Alan Brinkley and, you know, people who can write, I think, that holds people's attention. That kind of book, I think, is coming more into vogue for the public. And I think we're trying to make, I think, many of us academics, this bridge from a strictly academic sort of mm-hmm. style of writing
right.
To a popular style of writing that lets the public in to what you're saying.
Ron Walters is a professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland, College Park, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call now from Dorothy, and Dorothy is calling from Davis, California. Hi, Dorothy.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to recommend a book that the title doesn't sound political, but it's actually a very political book. It's Cure Unknown, Inside the Lyme Epidemic, and it's by Pamela Weintraub. It's a brand new book out by St. Martin's Press, and I was very interested in this because my daughter has been very sick with Lyme disease, and Pamela Weintraub is a science editor and journalist who has written a lot of books about different science topics, but she and her whole family were unlucky enough to get Lyme disease and fell into what I call the rabbit hole of this. You get into this situation and suddenly, you know, the doctors don't seem to want to help you, and there's all this stuff. There's politics. The Centers for Disease Control is involved in it. The Connecticut Attorney General's office has brought charges about medical groups involved with Lyme disease. There is just a lot of political intrigue. There is proposed legislation about Lyme disease research in Congress right now that is being stalled because of politics.
Well, that's really interesting, Dorothy, that you're recommending a book about Lyme disease, and yet it's a political book. And I thank you for that recommendation, and I would never have heard of it otherwise. So thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
We're going to take another call from Karen in Sonoma, California. Hi, Karen.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. There's a book that I'm going to recommend, and it's by a gentleman by the name of Peter Opa, and he is a man from Benin, and the book is called Jesus Would Vote for a Black Man, for a Black President, excuse me, Jesus Would Vote for a Black President. And he takes his experience from living in Africa and living through and being exposed to and befriending and having the Christian missionaries come and Africa. And it challenges everybody to think about why they would vote for a particular person and why they wouldn't vote for a particular person.
All right, thanks. That's a very good recommendation. We're going to try and get one more in before we have to get off the air. Thanks so much
for the
call, Karen. All right, we're going to go to James in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, James.
Greetings.
Go ahead.
Book is America in Danger. Author is a fellow named Stephen Studdard, who was an advanced man. As a matter of fact, he read The Advanced Man and went to work for Gerald Ford, became Reagan and Bush One's advanced man, then was the Clinton administration appointee. The reason it's interesting is he chronicles about 10 what I'd call hot items: America's failing infrastructure, ticking debt time bomb, other items that America is facing and are talked about openly behind closed doors. And as he says in the book, in the flyleaf, when I was a member of the White House staff, I was bound by oath, you know, by law, not to talk about these things, and now I can.
All right.
So America in Danger, Critical Issues Press. There's a YouTube interview with Studdard. He's a great interview. He's a very engaging guy.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, James. So, Ron Walters, we just have a little sampling there. Quite a range.
And I know Peter Opa's book. As a matter of fact, I was saying to myself, when I looked at it, that I'd like to tack this on to Barack Obama's speech on race. I think, because his speech on race really sort of threw down the gauntlet at the feet of America to deal with it and get past race. Well, this one raises many of the important questions, but on another level, on a religious level.
Ron Walters, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for
Ron
having me.
Ron Walters is a professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. His newest book is Freedom Is Not Enough: Black Voters, Black Candidates, and American Presidential Politics. We are also joined by Dermot McAvoy, author of Want Political Truth, by a book that appears in Publishers Weekly, the June 16th edition. Thanks for being with us, Dermot.
Thank you, Lynn.
And coming up next, why one sports columnist had to eat his words after Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open. Stay with us. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.